Good morning, everybody. Man, I tell you what, every time I hear that last song, I just, I think my eyeballs are sweating. I don't know what it was, but if you guys don't know, my daughter had the great privilege of baptizing my daughter down at Kingston Park, and as we walked down to the water, Caleb was able to sing that song. So every time we sing that last song, I think about how good God is in that. Not only did he save my life, but now he's saved two of the three of my children's lives. And I cannot think of anything that brings more joy than to know that God is working within my kids. So hopefully they'll pass that on down to their grandkids, and to their kids and generations to come. So I'm so excited for this morning. We've been going through this study on origins, we've been talking about the way that everything started. Last week we talked about how sin entered the world and the fact that it is us hiding ourselves away. Our sinful nature keeps us away from God, not the other way around. We talked about how God came calling for us in the same way that he calls for us into salvation. The question is, do we answer or not? And as we go through a little bit farther, we skip a few chapters, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 8 today, starting at verse 1. But we know that sin just totally started taking over the world, right? And sin was spreading so quickly. And we have Noah come into the picture. Noah comes in, and we know that we have the great flood. And so often we think of this story, and we think of at the end of the 40 days, right? At the end of the 40 days, the rain stops, and we think that the clouds come out, perfect bluebird skies, and like as soon as that last drop hits, Noah opens the door, and he comes out, and he's just excited to be there, and everybody just starts living again, and there's nothing but sunshine and rainbows at that point. However, when you dig down deep into your Bible and you start reading beyond the initial story, you realize the process was much more in depth than just 40 days and 40 nights. It lasted so much longer. I was able to get a card, and I hope, Kelsey, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to read this card to the church this morning. Oh, it's going to be hard for me to read. One of my good friends, he's in the hospital right now, and he is recovering. I've been talking to him each and every day. I've told you guys about him. Daniel is, he's fighting. He is fighting. I'm honored to call him my friend. Jaden, girls, you guys should be honored to call him your dad, because that's the strongest guy I know. So we got this letter. Says, isn't it amazing how God brings the right people into your life at the right time? People who support, love, and pray for you, regardless of your circumstances. God is amazing. No words can express how thankful we are for all the support during this time. I'm at a loss for words. Thank each and every one of y'all that has helped, prayed, and been so kind to our family. I ask to keep prayers coming for Daniel and our family. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalm 56, 3. With thanks, Daniel, Kelsey, and the kids. See, so often in life, and as I was preparing this week, we think of the initial process, the initial pain that we go through. If we can just get through that initial surgery, I know we've got so many people hurting, people like Jax and Igo, and so many people in our families and COVID that last for so long, and we think if we can just get it and get it over with, if we could just make it to the hospital and let them do whatever procedure and then get out. But if for any of us that have had family members or those of ourselves that have been through terrible situations, hard situations, rarely do we go to the doctor. They give us some magical pill and we take it and we walk back out and everything's just totally fine. Rarely does that ever happen. So often the fight actually begins after the pain. And we've been going through that process. I was able to, and I hope, Kelsey, you don't mind me sharing this, but she asked me to get a hold of Daniel and talk to him yesterday because Daniel was struggling. He's been in the hospital a couple of weeks. He's wondering when it's going to end. He's ready to see his family. And yet we have progress each and every day. Each and every day, but yet the time afterwards, the time where we see, where is the end? Where is my hope? God, do I see you today? Are you here with me today? We lose sight of that because we think all the pain is done with the initial flood in the way that Noah did. We think whenever the process is there, when we're in the middle of the COVID and the doctor says you can go out, we think it's just done, right? That we're healthy or whatever situation in our life, but it goes so much beyond that. As a matter of fact, let me give you a little backstory. For about 120 years, Noah knew, if you read back in chapter 7, Noah knew that this flood was coming. Noah knew, and he was preparing. He was having kids. From about 55 to 75 of those years, he was actually building the ark, preparing for what God had in store. So often in our ministries, the question is, when is it ever going to get there? When's it going to be enough? When are you going to bless me? When am I going to actually get to fight the battle? Anybody ever been there before? Where you have something looming in the distance, right? As a kid, I remembered having to go to the doctor. Right, and it wasn't the process of actually being there at the doctor that was so tough. It was just waiting for it to happen. Each and every day I struggled. When's that going to happen? Can I get over there? Can we just get it done? No, I don't want to be a part of that process, but I hate the wait. We have that in our exciting times too. Does anybody ever remember, put yourself at about 10 to 12 years old. Yeah, some of you kids will just have to think in the future, or maybe you can get there right now. But you put yourself in that time frame. Do you remember having like an awesome trip? Maybe it was with your youth group. Maybe it was with some friends. Let's say you were going to Kings Island. Been there before, haven't we? Right? And you get so excited for Kings Island. Adults, it's kind of like whenever it's 3:30 and you're waiting for the clock at work to hit 4:30. That hour is the longest hour of the entire day, am I right? Well, as kids, we get in that process of getting excited. We don't sleep at night. As a matter of fact, I remember one time getting ready to go to that theme park, to that Kings Island, and the night before, I just laid there dreaming of all of the excitement we were going to have, all of the things that we're going to do. And so often in that process, we get so confused in where we need to be. Well, for 120 years, Noah was building this ark. He was building God's plan for his life. 120 years. In a time like we have now where we want what we are deserved or what we are owed right now. We need it now. As a matter of fact, I remember a time not that long ago where, it was for a lot of us, that when you went out, you couldn't make a phone call or receive a phone call. You had to wait till you got back home. And if you really needed something, it may be hours from now. You remember that first boyfriend or girlfriend, mom wanting to go out and get groceries. It may be 2 hours before you got to talk to him or hang out with your buddies. But now in our society, we want things and we want them now. And we want it over with now. Yet Noah took 120 years in the knowledge of what God had in store for him to prepare for the flood. So the flood comes, and for 40 days and for 40 nights, Noah is inside of the ark with all of these animals. And he's tending to them, and then one day, the last raindrop falls. The last raindrop falls, and all of a sudden in our minds, it's like that time when you go into Kings Island in that preparation, or you're going in to get that medicine that you need to get healed, or maybe you're having that surgery that will regain your eyesight or your ability to walk or whatever it is. Now's the time. So we think. And here Noah is directly after the last raindrop in chapter 8. It says, God remembered Noah as well as all the wildlife and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water began to subside. The sources of the watery depths and the flooded gates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky stopped. The water steadily receded from the earth, and by the end of the 150 days, the water had decreased significantly. Wait a minute. It only rained for 40, but yet now we're throwing in 150. Let's keep that in mind. 150 seems like way longer. Most of us could handle about a month, maybe a little bit more, but now we're talking about 5 months. Let's go a little farther. The ark came to rest in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Wait a minute. Now we're at 7 months, but it only rained 40 days and 40 nights. The water continued to recede until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent out a raven. It went back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see whether the water on the earth's surface had gone down. But the dove found no resting place for its foot. It returned to him in the ark because water covered the surface of the whole earth. He reached out and brought it into the ark to himself. So Noah waited 7 more days and sent out the dove from the ark again. When the dove came to him at evening, there was a plucked olive leaf in its beak. So Noah knew that the water on the earth's surface had gone down. After he had waited another 7 days, he sent out the dove, but it did not return to him. In the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water that had covered the earth was dried up. Then Noah removed the ark's cover and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was dry. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for loving us and being with us. I ask that as we dig into your word today, that you show us something that we need to implement into our lives so that we can glorify you, Lord. Allow us to have that word patience, Lord. Allow us to know in your timing when we need to move and when we need to stay. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we went through a lot of 40 days. That number 40 is a complete amount of time. So when you hear that, it's a completed amount of time. It's a time that is needed. You hear several things like Jesus going into the wilderness to pray for 40 days. The rain came for 40 days. It's a completed amount of time that it happened. So we have rain for 40 days, and then we start the countdown. All the things that have gone on. And we hear months and weeks and weeks and weeks. As a matter of fact, when we get started, it says, God remembered Noah as well as all the wildlife and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. You ever been in a situation where you were just struggling, where you just saw no hope, no end to something that was there? You didn't know what the next step would be. You ever been in that situation? Where is tomorrow going to take me? Am I going to still be sitting here? Am I going to still be hurting here? And then we hear situations like this where it says, God remembered Noah. Now, make no mistake, this isn't the type of remembering that we do. This isn't like, oh, did I turn the oven off? I better run back inside and turn it back off. That wasn't the type of remembering. See, God was with Noah the entire time. He was in Noah's presence, yet Noah probably didn't fully see him because he was in a dark ark floating in troubled waters. Sometimes when we're in that dark spot floating on those troubled waters, we fail to see God's purpose. And could you imagine 40 days and 40 nights of nothing but rain and nothing but sadness and death coming upon the earth? and you floating there, hearing the thunder crash, feeling the waves move you back and forth, wondering if the vessel that God asked you to create is strong enough to bear the seas. Put yourself in that situation, and here we have Noah after 40 days and 40 nights, and we have this word, remembered. Well, God, in that sense, is not the type of God that just says, oh yeah, that guy floating out there, I better go back and check on him. No, it's that he made Noah a promise, and he said, if you do this for me, I will come back for you. So whenever he saw that, it's an action word. That word remembered is an action word. God came back into action. After everything had been taken care of on the earth, God comes into action. So often when we're in the middle of that pain, we're wondering, when is the action going to be there? See, that 40 days and 40 nights is kind of like the process of being in surgery, right? If anybody has ever witnessed surgery, sometimes it takes hours, and the doctor will come out and that will give the family an update, and they'll say, most of the time the updates are like this, well, they're still doing good. But that's not really what we want to hear, right? We want to hear, they did well, it's over. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for that time where you walk up and the doctor says, they made it through, everything looks good, now we're in recovery. So when we start in chapter 8, Noah is in recovery. Now my question is, when we're in recovery, are the waters still there? So often when we get out of that surgery, we just want to hop up out of the bed and go for a run, right? We want to hop out of the hospital room and go skiing the next weekend, or we want to go to our favorite restaurant that day, or we want to just get on with life because we did the hard part. We made it through the surgery, we made it through the tough times, yet the recovery process can be long. As a matter of fact, when the rain ceased, Noah didn't even make a move yet. Why did Noah not make a move? So often we move before we're ready. We move before it's God's timing. This is when we put our own personal selves into the ministry, and God says, be patient, wait, be there for me, love and pray for your brothers, be there for them. Maybe I'm not going to put you in a situation that growth is happening today. Maybe I'm not putting you in a situation where you walk today, but I'm getting you there, and I'm getting you there in a way that is a godly way, that it is in a better shape for you. See, as a matter of fact, if Noah would have opened up those windows and doors, he would have seen nothing but death and destruction. Could you imagine the horrific side of everything that was going around? God was not ready for him to exit yet. He was not ready. What God had prepared was not ready. One of the coolest part about reading this passage is that it relates so much to the creation story. So we go back 8 chapters and we know that the earth was filled with water. If you would have been able to see this right now in this situation, God was making everything new again. God was making you new again when you were going through those hard times. God was setting you down and preparing you for the day you would walk again. And he goes a little farther, says, God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water began to subside. Now, when you go back into the Hebrew, when you look at this word wind, this wind could have also been understood as the Spirit, as God's Spirit was coming through and preparing the earth to see land again. God's moving. This could be the little things in our life that show us just a glimpse of what we could be when God's done with us. Got an awesome message this week. Daniel sent me a message. He said, hey, I walked 77 feet. Then the next day he said, hey, I took a step, one step. No, we may not be able to go up all the stairs that we have at work. We may not be able to run that marathon yet, but man, when you can't do any and you go 77 feet and take a step, it's a miracle. God's getting ready. He's preparing. All of a sudden, it says the floods started to subside, the skies were closed, and the water began to go down. 150 days, and the ark came to rest in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Well, let me ask you this. If you guys had been floating around for 150 days, show me a show of hands of how many of us would be busting the door down after 150 days to jump out and touch some top of some mountains. Who'd be ready for that? Every one of us. We're ready, right? Boom, COVID hits. I got to be in the household for 21 days. By the end of 21 days, you guys like have your shirts ripped and war paint on your face, building bonfires in the backyard, cooking squirrels, right? We're not talking about 150 days. We're like after 21, you know. Some of us after 10 days, that job that I hate, I got to get back to it. I can't be in here, man. My kids, I think they ate one of our kids. When we turn into a bunch of savages, we're ready. And yet, so often when we see just a glimpse of what God has in store for us, we want to bust out and just do it right there. Take what little there is. And yet the tip of that mountain isn't what God has prepared for us. It isn't all of it. It isn't enough of it. God says, be patient just a little bit longer. Yeah, I know you took 77 steps, but I have 77 miles prepared for you. Yeah, you took the tip of the mountain, but I have the whole earth prepared for you. Yeah, you took one blessing, but I have so much more prepared. Just be patient and wait. As we go through this time and we look at all of the things that have gone on, we see that the water slowly goes down and the creation of earth is coming back into play. As I was reading this and I was showing and I was thinking about the ways that Jesus has shown and the way that God uses water and earth and life and death, this story reminds me so much of baptism. We say so often when we get baptized that the old us goes into the water, the old us passes away, and the new created us comes from out of that baptismal water. The earth was baptized. The sin, for the most part, the old sinful world was taken away, and yet newness was coming out of Noah. Yes, I will say for some of those, as Elijah is probably typing me a text right now, yes, sin was still on the earth because Noah was there. Good? Okay. Yeah, he's smiling because I know I was going to get that if I didn't give you that little asterisk. Newness was coming in, and yet he waited and he waited and he waited. He sends out a raven that flies back and forth. Then he sends out a dove that goes out and comes back because there's nowhere to put his feet. He waits another time period. He sends out that dove again, and it comes back with an olive leaf. Life is springing forward. And yet it is still not time. That patience, that word, that's one of the hardest words to understand. As a matter of fact, if you want absolute misery in your life, pray for patience. Because when you get patience, that means that you have to sit there until you learn it. That is a hard thing to do, and yet Noah doesn't get out. So often in our lives, when we see just a little bit and we see hope, for most of us, that olive leaf would have been enough, that sitting there, but yet it wasn't enough. He waited until he sent out that dove again, and Noah said the dove did not come back, and he waited. And in total, 370 days, Noah was in the ark. 370 days from the time he entered and the first raindrop fell until he was able to walk on dry land again. Yet, the promise through a rainbow and those bluebird skies were there waiting. So often in our lives, if we would just wait for God to say it's time to move, if we'll wait for God to say, I want you to do it in my way, if we'll wait to hear his words, we'll be able to see the promises that he has for our lives. Don't give up hope. Know that God's still waiting. Even after 120 years of preparing and waiting, Noah still had over a year of being there until he could walk again. So often in our ministries, we move so quickly. As a matter of fact, when we first planted Fireside, we were talking, we had these hopes, and Luke and I were discussing some things with Caleb, and we're like, dude, I bet in 6 months, 250 people are going to be there, and we're going to be baptizing people left and right. And man, I am thankful that that did not happen, because we would have been overwhelmed, and we would not have been able to do it in our own way, because we weren't doing it in God's timing. And yet we sit here today, and I'm so excited. We have a new members class coming up. And I say new members class, but if you're visiting, I know that we have some couples that had only been here 1 week when they signed up, and some that have been here for months that signed up. If you want to know more about who we are here at Fireside, we've got this new members class coming up this Friday. Just let me know. We're going to tell you a little bit about our history, what got us to the place that we are today. We're going to add in some of our beliefs and what we believe and what we believe God has called us into. And then we're going to have a time for you to discuss any questions that you have with us, get to learn who some of our elders and our deacons are, and just learn more about the church. It doesn't mean that you automatically say, I'm a member whenever you get out of that class. It's just a time for you to learn more about who we are. If you want to be a part of that, come and talk to me, and we'll get you signed up afterwards. One thing that we want to do is we want to be patient in the way that we do things. And so often when we're planting a church, that's such a hard word. It's difficult for me, because I just want to move. And yet sometimes we don't need to in that way. We need to be in the same way that Noah is, that wait for God's timing. Now, there is something that I believe that we shouldn't wait on. And I end every week in this same way, and when we see this perfect picture, this beautiful picture of baptism, I can't think of anything else than to see Jesus's face and his purpose in every bit of this. Because in the end, the only thing that can truly wash away the sins of the earth, even the great flood didn't totally cover the sins of the entire earth. We still had sinful man that would walk there again. If you want to know how it is to truly be saved, then you need to know who Jesus is. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the Son of God. He is fully man and fully God, and he loves you. He loves you to the point that he climbed up on a cross for you. He gave his life for you. He took the fullness of sins payment upon us, upon himself, for you. He died for you, and he rose again to show you that he was the Savior, and he loves you. God calls out to you through the Holy Spirit to come into salvation. If God's calling you into that salvation, don't take another step. Answer that call. It doesn't mean that everything in your life is perfectly fixed in the way you want it, but it does mean that God's working in your life and that your eternity is secure. Let us pray that we have patience and knowledge and understanding in God's purpose. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for being with us. I thank you for even the hard times when we have people that are dealing with COVID and pain and sickness and cancer and having to go through surgeries at such a young age and with strokes and with recoveries and through all of those things, Lord, that even whenever it seems like where the battle is past us, that we're just wanting to take that next step, Lord, that you let us know that you are there with us and that we will have that, but it will be in your timing, whether it be on this earth or not, Lord, that you give us wholeness, you give us completeness, you give us love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you continue to just be with our church, Lord, but not to make it ours, but to make it yours, Lord, that we go out and we do your will, that we go out and we build your kingdom, and we are just vessels prepared for glory for you. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.